Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
UFC fans, are you looking to love your hair? I know Matt and I are looking at each other. Yes! We are indeed. Check out Hair Club. Whether you're experiencing thinning hair, hair loss, or you just want more out of your hair, Hair Club has over 40 years of experience helping people get hair they love. Visit hairclub.com/fight to schedule your personalized consultation that includes a free hair and scalp analysis. Take the first step in getting the hair you love, Hair Club. Today's episode is brought to you by Devour Frozen Meals, the official frozen meal of UFC. They put big flavor first with premium meats, creamy sauces, and gooey cheeses. Next time you're in the freezer aisle, check out Devour's white cheddar mac and cheese with bacon, packed with delicious gooey cheese that makes for an epic cheese pull when you grab a bite. Jimmy! I know, Matt. How about their loaded potatoes with Angus beef and bacon? Jimmy! Nothing caps off a night of fights quite like some crispy bacon and juicy hunks of meat. Devour believes all food should be mouthwatering, period. End of story. Each meal has the taste dialed up and the flavor maxed out. Devour Meals, the official frozen meal of the UFC.
For years I've said that, I'd fight anywhere they put an octagon.
Jim A-10 Miller!
How can these guys be in front of me on the rankings? That's fine, I'm here to fight again and regain my belt. Cegado Junior Dos Santos!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I have a busy show today. We have Luis J. Gomez joining us, who hosts, he's co-host of Legion of Skanks, and he hosts the podcast with Michael Bisping, who we love. And Jim Miller is coming on. He's fighting Vince Pichel. And, of course, we have Junior Dos Santos fighting Jarzinho Rozenstruik, which that should be a really, really interesting fight. Both guys are really solid standing up. And after Rozenstruik's last loss to Ngannou, which was a pretty bad loss. They both took pretty bad losses to Francis.
You know what's nice about them fighting this weekend, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
At the Apex in Las Vegas at UFC 252. You know what's really, really great about that?
What?
You know what is great news about that?
What?
I'm going to be there, Jimmy.
You are going to be there.
Oh, shit. There's not a bad seat in the house. There's no seats in the house, actually, Jimmy.
No.
But, I'll see what I could finagle.
And I'll now, what are you going to be there for?
Well, Marab is fighting. Mm-hmm. Dotson, who's a very, very tough guy. So I'm excited about that. He's had some great, great sparring partners. A little shout out to Pumi and who's that? The kid he's working with, Villison. I want to fuck up this wrestling kid's name. Tough kid. Anyway, Marab, I'm so excited about Marab. And speaking of being excited, Jimmy,
and they're on the main card. And he's on the main card, bro.
Yes!
Yeah,
of course he is. Marab's fucking... It's going to be a party for Marab. And I am so happy, just so happy that Chris Weidman got that W over the weekend, Jimmy. Can I just let you know that?
Yeah.
You know? Because, you know, sometimes you have, you know, a loss or two or whatever it may be. You need to get that monkey off your back. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's like hitting that reset button. Okay. You know, he didn't take much damage, you know, and I'm just, I'm very happy about that, you know, and it was hard to watch it at my house, you know?
Well, it's one of those things where I think the second round, he lost the second round. I think he won first and third, if I'm remembering correctly. Did he get a 10-8 round? Because it looked like it was 29-27.
Yeah. I believe the last round. Yeah, so third round, he got a 10-8 round. But that Omari, man, he's a tough guy, man.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's got he's resilient, and he wasn't getting discouraged. He was really trying. But I'll tell you, the grappling of Weidman,
yeah,
is next level. It's really good, man. He did dominate that third. He needed that third round. He needed to dig deep because Omari was coming back. He came back hard that second round where, you know, he had to put a stamp on it, man, and be like, look, you know, that third round was a make or break for Chris.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that he pulled through, and you know, that kid was on a 6-fight winning streak.
Yeah.
So. That's something to be said. So now we can talk about all the other fights. I just had to just let that out. Yeah, you know who who's entertaining as all heck? Part of my language.
I'm going to guess who you're going to say.
Are you?
It could be a couple of people. Personally, I'm going to say Kevin Holland. But I have a feeling you're going to say someone else.
No, there's another guy I'm impressed with also. But Kevin Holland is the guy I was thinking of. Oh, God. First of all, I don't like when there's forced, like, talking or if guys try to play a role. He is very – it's very organic the way he's shit-talking in there.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking to him. He's like, all right, watch out for that one. Now you have to – he's good. And the way he rolls with his punches, little James Tony-ish. And, you know, I see Bobby Green do that also where that lead arm could be down. He tucks his chin and he looks to roll and come back. I really like his counter punches. And you saw in his fight, his punches were coming right from the chin. There's no wind up.
Right.
There's no flailing. It's just right from the chin like a sharpshooter. It reminded me of a little bit of a Sugar Sean O'Malley, to be honest with you, the way he just was pinpoint with that. I mean, that shot that ended the fight with Kevin, Holland threw.
Buckley, yeah.
Yes, it was so pinpointed. It hardly even looked like it touched. You saw that?
Yeah.
It was at the exact, his jaw was at the exact end. You know what I mean? Of the of that punch, it was just so beautiful. Joaquin was, and he's coming off, I believe, one or two knockouts.
A couple of first round knockouts.
Yes, yeah. And you've seen that confidence in him. In the beginning, he was trying to take Kevin's head off. But the way Kevin kept his composure and the way he rolled with that, getting out of the way by just inches of some of these haymakers, and then coming back with his own counter strikes, it was awesome. I think this kid's destined to be a star. I do, Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he was throwing elbows. I think he was getting when Buckley got in close and was throwing a lot of combinations. If I remember right, he was throwing elbows. And I think Holland throwing elbows, and he got caught a few times, and he definitely has a chin because Buckley did catch him with a few combinations.
He caught him, but he does roll with it, I believe, enough to take a little of that stank out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's important. And I love his range, not only with his punches, but like you said, the elbows. He's a tall guy.
Yeah.
So when Buckley was fighting his way through, he'd be met with elbows.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. It's not because we had the guy on the show the week before. I was so impressed.
He was great.
And he's good on the mic. He's fun. He's got a good energy about him. I cannot wait to see what's next for Kevin Holland, man. He's a star in the making, that kid. He really is. Oh, and by the way,
sorry, Matt. Joaquin Buckley, the thing that was impressive about him is that, you know, you figured he's going to punch himself out. He's a little. I think this was his UFC debut. Am I correct? It was his first UFC fight.
Who's that, Joaquin Buckley?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
Because you got to remember. Yeah, sorry, Jimmy.
Such a guy comes in with that energy, throwing those type of bomb combinations. Like by the second, but by the second round, he was still there. I mean, he didn't seem like he got gassed, and I was impressed with his gas tank.
Well, you think? I mean, I don't know how. I mean, did he have a full can for this, Joaquin? I'm not sure. I don't even know, because you got to understand, Kevin, when he was on, he was supposed to be fighting. I forget who he's supposed to be fighting.
Trevor Giles?
Yes, I'm sorry. And then Trevor had that thing where he fainted before the fight or something, and he had to go to the hospital. So this was, he was already set to fight, and he said he was set to fight a different type of opponent.
Sure.
Not a short, stocky type guy. I think he was set of, he's just a different. So he had to really, make adjustments. To fight Joaquin. And I'm telling you, man, I can't say enough about Kevin Holland. Another person that I am really excited about. And I'll tell you right now, where'd this guy come from? Nasrat, help me with this.
Oh, I don't want to. I mean, go ahead. Nasrat Haqparast.
Haqparast.
Haqparast, yeah.
Haqparast.
Haqparast.
Nasrat.
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 It's a hard word to say because there's a lot of consonants together, and there's consonants together that you're not used to being grouped together in when you say something. So it takes a couple of
let's talk about it a split second. Nasrat Haqparast.
Yeah.
Haqparast. He was fighting Alexander Munoz, who was undefeated, I believe, if I remember correctly. I don't have his stats right in front of me, but I think he was like 6-0, and he was a wrestler. And he was powerful. You could tell this dude was powerful.
Yep.
And he was confident. I'm talking about Alexander Munoz right now.
Yep.
But I couldn't say enough. A matter of fact, Jimmy.
Yeah, it was his first loss.
It was his first loss. Yep. I was so impressed that I was actually, I took video of me watching it so I could play back and remember what I was saying. Like, what? Why I was so...
Wait, as opposed to just taking notes? You're so crazy.
Why am I crazy for doing that?
You didn't take, I it's hard for me to write notes down. I get like really, like I don't want to, sometimes I want to take notes too, because there's so many fights and my memory is not great. So I'm,
Jimmy,
I'll make a mental note, like, wow, these front kicks are beautiful. These front kicks to the body are working. And then I'll, three fights later, you're into what somebody else is doing.
You know what I'm going to do now for next time? I'm going to write notes. Because I can't find a goddamn video. I do this so I could, I don't have to write notes. Anyway, the thing is this. He couldn't be held down. His takedown defense was awesome. I'm going to give up on the video.
Wait, why don't you do this, Matt? Why don't you talk into your, seriously, you have this note app on your phone. Why don't you talk into it? Because you could talk and it will print out notes for you. And then you can just read them back the next time. Like you can dictate into your phone to make notes. So you can just go to them if you want.
Jimmy, it's going to bother me now because I don't even think I videoed it. But hey, listen, that's neither here nor there. We're going to get back to that. But I was very, very impressed with Nasrat. Oh, wait, I did take a video. Let's listen.
Video is I'm impressed with his takedown defense.
You hear this? Oh, that's all I said.
What did you say? He has good defense.
I took a video because I was so impressed with his takedown defense.
Yeah.
And then I was talking more to my father-in-law, my brother-in-law Edwin.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't record that part. So listen, people, listen.
Yeah.
Next time we're gonna work that. It's good for the show. I'm gonna do that same thing next time, Jimmy.
Sure.
You get to hear my reaction, but I'll let it record a little more.
Yeah.
That was
great to hear everybody talking and to hear you go, this guy's got defense. I mean, that was an excellent video. That was great.
Hey, Jimmy, guess what? Let's talk to Luis J. Gomez.
Luis is here, yeah. I love Luis Gomez.
Fuck.
Hi,
All right, guys, are you looking to love your hair? Well, look, check out Hair Club. Whether you're experiencing thinning hair, hair loss, Matt and I are checking both boxes, or just wanting more out of your hair, Hair Club has over 40 years of experience helping people get the hair they love. You're looking to regrow, replace, or restore your hair? Hair Club has over 120 locations and over 1,000 hair health professionals and stylists ready to help you get the look you deserve. And you might be going, well, how do we get a hold of them, Jim? How about this? Give Hair Club a call at 800-831-1289 or visit hairclub.com/fight to schedule your personalized consultation. That includes a free hair and scalp analysis. Take the first steps in getting the hair you love. What are you waiting for? Do it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What's up, Lewis? I want to say,
what's up, Matty? How you doing, brother?
Good to see you, man. And also,
congrats on the win for Weidman over the weekend.
Oh fuck, man! Oh, hot. I can't watch it from my couch. It was gut wrenching. I guess the word is, because I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah. The second round, he came back the third. I was so happy. Yeah. Jimmy forgot to mention that you're an undefeated amateur fighter.
Yeah, technically undefeated amateur fighter. I heard you guys had Ellis on the other day.
Oh, and shit. I was gonna lube the entry, but let's fucking go right in on this. I'm psyched. Yeah,
I'm gonna have a fight with Jason Ellis. We don't have a date on the books yet, but it's official, baby boy. Shout out to my sponsors, Yo Kratom. Shout out to, you know, I'm legitimately doing it all over again, and I'm excited to do it. It's not legitimate martial, you know, mixed martial arts. It is. I know people are like, people, fans of this show, MMA purists. Look, it's a freak show fight. We know what it is. We know it's for entertainment. It's a radio guy and a podcaster getting in there. But Jason has been training for a very long time.
Yeah.
A real deal task. And I'm, you know, obviously, you know, very nervous to see if I could bring myself up to that level and up to that task, because he's got a ton of experience and I have very, very little experience.
Yeah, Jason's a legitimate, he really can fight, and he's like legitimately been training for a long, long time. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the fights he's had, and you know, he's a long time, you got balls to fight him. I mean, but you have a puncher's chance too, though, because I know Lewis hits hard. Lewis, I think Lewis, of all the comedians I wouldn't want to get hit by, Rogan is probably number one, but Lewis, I'd say, is in the top five. Top five. You're right behind Judy Gold. Comedians I would not want to get fucking punched by.
Yeah, but Jimmy, let me tell you something, Lewis, and I think I told you this, because I believe we spoke after your fight, because you fought a guy, he used to do Taekwondo, he's another comedian, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Ryan O'Neal. Oh, right. Ryan O'Neal.
But listen, this is what I'll tell you. You get any tough guy, you know, and you say, anybody can fight at the drop of a hat, you know what I mean? It's easy when your adrenaline's up, you're in a bar, you're drinking, but you take that same guy, and this goes for most tough guys, you know, and you say, all right, man, You're gonna fight that guy that you're about to fight now, but you're fighting him a week from now in front of 30 people. That guy could shit himself. That guy might not show up. That same tough guy. So when I saw you walk to the cage, and it was at an Ellis Mania, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in Vegas. 2,000 people.
Jason's event.
It's crazy.
Hey man, you looked comfortable, and I've been around. You didn't look like you weren't shitting yourself. I don't know what the nerves were. I don't know if you have a good poker face, but you looked pretty calm. And when you were fighting, you know, listen, the biggest thing is the mental part of this thing, right? You know what I mean? Because you're not going to develop a crazy set of skills before you fight Jason. I put Jason Ellis together. I put
Jealous. It works. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, proper training and the right mental attitude, man. It's just another fucking dude. And I like the way your mental game was.
I agree. And I think that was the thing that I really learned about myself. And this is why, like, you know, I had no idea what it was like to, we all got into dumb scraps in high school and middle school. Yeah. And you get into a bar fight or whatever. It's stupid, right? It's not a real fight. That's not what fighting is. That is punching something. That's not a fight. That is, I punched something and something punched me and then it was broken up very quickly. Yeah. And that was that. There was no real test there. Yeah. When you have to show up and you have to really put yourself, and I went through a lot of injuries. I mean, I subluxed my shoulder, broke my hand. I fought with a broken hand. To this day, it's still little nagging things that hurt. To go through that and then to not and to find out about yourself that you don't really know how tough you are. You don't really know how good you are. For me to go, I'm going to kick Ryan O'Neal's ass. That is an ignorant statement. Because how the fuck do I know? How do I really know until you are at a high level, you have coaches around you that are looking at tape on this guy and they can look at your best skill sets versus his worst skill sets. We're two amateur comedians who don't fucking know how to actually really fight yet. So really what it was a test of becoming the best version of myself, being in the best shape possible. Understanding just sort of how to be there, sparring a shit ton. And the first time I sparred, it was crazy. I was like, I'm trying to hit this guy and I can't. And he's hitting me and I'm keep on trying to hit him. And before you do that a bunch, you don't really have any idea. And now I know a little bit more going into it this time. And people are like, oh, you're crazy for fighting Jason Ellis. Look, I want to test myself. I don't want to go in there and just fight against somebody that I know I can beat up. To be able to test myself and to know if I could get myself to that level as a dude, it's really fun and really interesting. I'm going to get in great shape. I already have a couple sponsors that are paying me money. There's no stand-up comedy right now. This is just, there's only upside. Even if I get knocked the fuck out, I am in great shape. I've made some cash. All my friends are going, oh, shit, dude, you're a badass. You got in there and tested yourself. Where's the downside?
Have you been knocked out before, Lewis? Sorry, Matt. Have you ever been, like, knocked out with a punch?
Not in a fight, no.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have. I got knocked out with a baseball. I drilled into my face. It's a weird feeling to come to after you've been knocked unconscious.
Yeah, in gym class in, like, the seventh grade, we were playing, like, some sort of, like, tag, like, capture the flag, like it was in our, like, you know, pants, hanging out of our pants, and somebody, like, pushed me as I was diving for the wall, and I flew headfirst into the wall, and then I woke up in the nurse's office, like...
Yeah, you know what's funny about this is that when Jason Ellis has... It's funny that when you're talking, and then Jimmy's talking, he's like, man, you got balls to fight him, and this and that. It's funny, because Jason's normally the guy that people are saying that
right.
to. Because he's usually the guy that's, oh, I'm just a wacky guy that fucks around with the martial arts and I'm fighting Shane Carwin with one arm or I'm fighting this guy who's, hey, listen, but he did, I think, in the beginning with just fucking around, but he's been training, if you look at it, for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's why he's actually developed some skills. When I heard he knocked out Gabe Rudiker, I mean, Gabe Rudiker is more of a jiu-jitsu guy, to be honest. You know, I don't think he's known for having hands of fucking steel or anything.
He's a lightweight too, right?
What's that?
Lightweight as well?
Yeah, a little guy. So I'm sure he didn't. And I'm sure, like, he didn't really take Jason seriously. He's like, you're a radio guy. So it's one of those things where Jason's training his balls off, thinking he's fighting some fucking, he's fighting this guy that was champ at the WEC. And Gabe, I'm sure, did not give a fuck. And he went in there and got knocked out. You know what I mean? So it's funny that now everybody's talking that Jason is the big bad bruiser and that you got to fight this Goliath mixed martial artist. But, dude, you got to look at it, man. I mean, for what it is. Jimmy, what happened? I got a flashback. Did you ever see the movie fucking Troy? You ever see Troy?
No.
With Brad Pitt? You never saw Troy?
No, I'm not a big Brad Pitt fan, man.
Well, I guess I'm just a big sissy. Being a Brad Pitt fan. You ever see him in True Romance?
I did like him in that.
Yeah. Well, Lewis, did you ever see Troy? Please.
I didn't see Troy, but I saw him in Legends of the Fall. He had beautiful hair in Legends of the Fall. So I just take that mental image?
No, but listen, this is what I'll tell you. He played Achilles. He played Achilles. And I'm sure you heard of Achilles.
Yeah.
So there's a scene, Jimmy and Lewis. There's a scene in the beginning of that movie, right? Two armies. And they're like, all right, we're about to fight. Get your greatest warrior. We'll get ours. They get this big barbarian-looking motherfucker. Huge. Oh, like fucking yelling. They go, where's Achilles? Oh, fuck, where is he? We got to go find him. They send the little kid to a tent. Hey, Achilles. Hey, you got to go fight. Achilles waking up. He's next to a chick. And then he goes, look. The kid goes to him, you're going to fight the biggest guy ever I've ever seen. Aren't you afraid? And Jimmy, you kind of reminded me of what just happened when you were talking to him about Jason Ellis. And then he goes, nobody said to the kid, and I'm going to paraphrase. He goes, oh, now I'm going to fuck it up.
Wait, no, hold on. Listen. You'll get it. Wait, is this from, this
Jimmy,
is Brad
no, don't
Pitt
fuck
from
me up,
seven?
Jimmy. Wait, stop it, Jimmy.
Is this from seven? Stop.
Let me, hold on. Don't talk for a second.
Okay, no, this, I love Brad
Jimmy,
Pitt.
Shut the okay. He said this to him.
In Troy.
This is what he said to the kid. He goes, that's why no one will ever remember your name. Do you understand? So that's what, like, that was really poor. You got to watch it. I fucked it up. Basically, the gist is this. The kid's telling him, holy fuck, man, you're going to fight this kid? I would never do that. No shit, you little fuck. That's why no one's going to remember your name. I'm fucking Achilles. Yeah. We know who Lewis never saw the movie. He knows who Achilles is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
He has
what
was his kid's
name?
The kid's name was Everybody's. Listen to me. Okay?
So what was it? I'm confused. It was a kid named Troy showed up.
Yes.
And what did he say to Brad Pitt?
And Brad Pitt was Achilles. And Achilles had he's Achilles. Am I fucking up his name, motherfucker?
No, you got it all right.
It's Achilles. We're just fucking around. So he had to go, he had to tell Achilles, look, man, I can't believe, and that's what he said. I would never want to fight. That's what he said to him. You got to fight this big giant, they're waiting for you. I would never want to fight that. So he's all cool, man. He's getting up, he's putting his helmet on. He's like, that's why no one will remember your name. He dissed that little fuck.
But meanwhile, yeah.
You little bitch.
But meanwhile, please. Did you remember the guy that Lewis Lewis beat in the last fight?
Nobody remembers his name. No,
you didn't remember.
No. But this is the. I'm not getting at that. I'm getting at the.
Oh, okay.
That Jason is the. Fuck you guys.
I have the other thing, Jason. Right now, Jason just. I think he shattered his knee just now. Right. So there's other factors here. Right. So people are dude, fucking Jason Ellis 2-0. Look, Jason hasn't had a professional mixed martial arts fight in a long time. He's 48 years old now. He just broke his knee. He's got to rehab his knee, come back. He just got surgery on it. I'm right now in the pro. I just started training. I'm in the pro. All I got to do is shed some fat. I can get in shape in a month very, very quickly.
How old are you, Lewis?
I'm 38 years old.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
he's got a decade on you.
He's got a decade on me and a lot more experience. But I got to be honest with you. It's like, it is a fight. I mean, I do, when I spar with guys, they're substantially more skilled than me. I land on them. It's not like I haven't hit people in sparring that are supposed to be able to just tee off on me. So I think right now it's really about preparing myself and being absolutely the best I can be. And that day, I may be better than Jason Ellis. I may be able to land on him. And it's not even a gym. I don't think it's a puncher's chance. I'm not going into it going like, oh, I'm going to knock out Jason Ellis. I'm going into it going, I need to be able to beat Jason Ellis for 3 rounds the entire time and to be able to land on him, be able to out wrestle him, be able to out jujitsu him, be able to out strike him. So that's what I'm preparing for. And I'm preparing for the Jason Ellis when he was fighting, because the only tape I have of him fighting actual mixed martial arts fights, he was a lot younger. So I'm preparing for a tougher Jason Ellis, ideally, or Jason Ellis can come back with a fucking bionic knee and kick my head off. And 3 seconds later, you know, everyone's laughing at me, but we'll see.
Well, the reason I said a puncher's chance, it was only because he's a guy who has been doing it for a while. And when you obviously we're dealing with jujitsu, you know, he's been training jujitsu for a long time. So you figure if it goes to the floor, he has an advantage there just because of the experience. So puncher's chance, meaning that, I mean, you know what that means, but there's no reason you can't land on anybody and knock them out. Like and it doesn't mean that you'd be flailing like an idiot, but I mean, I think if it's up against on the floor, the advantage would be his just because of the longevity. It doesn't mean you can't beat him.
Let me ask you.
I gave Conor a puncher's chance against Khabib. You know, the same reason. Conor's a great fighter, but just because Khabib on the ground is so dominant, you know, as soon as it goes there, you know, it's going to be a problem.
Lewis, where are you training your jiu-jitsu, man? Are you training jiu-jitsu at all?
I'm training my boy Diego Lopez out of Williamsburg MMA, which is a great little school. It's jiu-jitsu based. He's a black belt. But I'm doing because I'm so fat, I'm really going light with the jiu-jitsu sparring, because that's how I subluxed my shoulder last time. That's how I fucked up my rib.
Man, where do you live? You live in the city?
I'm moving to Jersey, actually, this month.
Lewis? Everyone's leaving the city. Is that why? Or are you getting a better deal? Or?
I'm just kidding. I want to move into a house, have a backyard, you know, got a 2-car garage, putting a little gym out there.
Yeah. You have a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to, you know,
the city's a fucking shithole right now.
So when there's no spirit or life here, there's no restaurants, there's no nightlife. It doesn't feel like anyone's just dreaming. You're just walking. And even the people that are outside, they're just sort of like, it's just a lot of like, it's just depressing. And I'm not shitting on the homeless people here, but it's just sort of like, there's a lot of homeless people just walking around. It doesn't seem like the same. Yeah. When I moved to New York City in 2001, and this is right before 9/11, which was the craziest time to be in New York City. Even a week after 9/11, there was a spark in the air where people were like, no, fuck this. We're not going to let this beat us. Yeah. And that spark is missing right now. We don't have that. Yeah. I think everyone, it's a really depressing place, which is kind of sad. But yeah, I'm moving out to the suburbs. I'm trying to get some, obviously, some more training. I was going to ask you if I could ever come out and
I'll do what I can, but I mean,
I'm sorry, I think he was he might have been talking. And listen, all
right, sorry,
Lewis. I think, dude, I'll tell you right now, it's not about jujitsu sparring and rolling. There's flow drills that you could, you'll be escaping out without even knowing it. From the I think that you should come out and work with me. I really do.
I would love to.
I would literally love to. You know, you let me know if you do.
I'll text you after we get off here for sure.
Jason Ellis. He don't give a fuck. He thought I was mad at him for something. Right, Jimmy? He thought I said something about him. But I like Jason. Listen, I like Jason. He got me into that show Vikings. So yeah, I can't, you know, I'll forever be thankful of course. For that. What a great show.
I would never take it personally if somebody that I knew was helping Jason train. I mean, look, I think Jason, to be honest with you, Jason's a fucking badass dude. Say what you want about Jason Ellis. He is a savage. He's a psychopath. He'll get in there with anybody. And I think that he wants me to be the best version of myself for this fight. I don't think he wants to come in and see a fat, like, you know, inexperienced Lewis. He wants a really good challenge. And I think I don't think he would even take this fight if he didn't think it was going to be a good fight.
When do you think how much time do you think you'd have?
Probably 5 months, maybe.
Oh my God.
We got time. Yeah.
You want to hook up? Listen, we're both East Coast guys, man. Hit me up. Well, we could make this happen. You know,
I love it. I'm 100% down.
Come out to Long Island. You know, yeah. I don't know if you want to make that trip, but I guarantee you to work
with the great Matt Sarah. Are you fucking kidding me?
I guarantee you that if you give me that many months with you, if you want to do this starter right away, holy fuck, dude! You're definitely not going to get beat up on the floor. I'll give you that much.
I love it.
I'm not being cocky. I don't know. Listen. I'm not good at certain things like helping my kids with the Common Core and doing some math. There's certain things I'm not really good at.
But jiu-jitsu? I'm
sure that no one's going to be holding you in mount or anything like that.
Great. I love it.
Whatnot. So I would love to help you with that. You know, I don't got shit to do. Fucking Jimmy, this quarantine, this COVID life is really strange. Don't you think, guys?
Well, yes. Also, like Lewis is about the city, and you're right. It's a weird lack of sparks, a great way to put it. But it's also to the city in the summer is also weird. So it's this whole fucking pandemic combined with the fact that the city in the summer always feels a little like that because people are gone. And August especially is hideous.
Yeah.
And, well, it's great to drive, but it's empty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible. It feels weird. It's so hot, humid, smoggy. It's just sort of, it's not good in general.
Yeah.
I'm hoping things are going to come back to normal sooner than later. I don't know if you guys have had Dr. Steve on this show. I know you know Dr. Steve very well, but I said Dr. Steve on my podcast the other day, and he had some really, just for the first time, I heard some positive things about treatments and effective things that are coming to market that
he's the best.
So good. Finally, I felt a little bit better. Yeah, I'm hoping things are just back to normal sooner than later. But right now, while we don't have comedy, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to take the fight was because I have the downtime. I'm just fat, 240 pounds right now. I put on literally, you know, almost 40 pounds since I fought Ryan O'Neal.
You look thinner to me, Lewis. It's funny you say that because I'm looking at you. Maybe it's the angle, but I'm thinking like your face. I'm like, fucking Lewis looks great. Like
I've been training for a couple of weeks now. So the diet's been, you know, back in order. All of the things sort of have to like fall into place. And this is just sort of, honestly, it's a great excuse to get back into shape. That's like at the end of all of this, is why people are like, you're crazy to fight Jason Ellis. I'm like, dude, if somebody said to you right now, Jim, they're going to give you you'll be in great shape. You'll have a great body. They'll put a ton of money in your pocket. All you got to do
have that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Lewis.
Just get into a cage with Jason Ellis and let him punch you in the face a few times.
Jimmy might die.
Well, you have no. I said I don't think you're crazy. I think you have balls to fight him, but that's just a respectful thing. Like anytime a guy fights somebody who's got a lot more experience, it takes balls. Doesn't mean you can't beat him. Would I do it? You know, I don't know, man. Like to get punched by a guy, like I wouldn't get in a fucking cage with you either. Like a guy that could shatter my jaw, I would be cautious unless I had to fight. Like, you know, if we were in a club and you hit me, if I could, but that's different than like Matt said, planning it and going forward. Would I do it? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but I'm a different breed than you are. You're a tougher guy than I am, and I'm a smaller guy. And I think my face is more punchable. So I think people would really gear up to hit me in the fucking mouth.
Well, it does look like your jaw's already been shattered a few times.
I've heard that many times, and I can detach it like a snake, which makes me popular with the ladies.
Hey, Jimmy. I'll tell you, they say life's about experiences. I'll tell you this much. When Lewis is old and in a rocking chair, he'll remember that fight he had with that fucking Taekwondo dude.
That's right.
Or whatever. He'll remember that. Great was that feeling, Lewis? How'd you feel? I don't give a shit if it's an amateur fight or you say a freak show. You still fought another guy in front of
2,000 people. Yeah.
It was incredible.
How did it feel?
There's very few times where I felt that accomplished or fulfilled in that moment to do right. it all like that and to go in and then win it all. It was cool. And also to go three rounds and to go the full distance and to know that I could sort of like, you know, last and not let my cardio fail me. And like, it's really just a test that right there. So here's the thing, Jim, I think when you think of being punched in the face, like even the way you describe it, you're like, dude, I got to stand in a cage in the sky over there. He's an animal. He's going to try to shatter my jaw. I don't look at it that way. I think most people that have trained don't necessarily look at it that way. Some people do. Some people look at it very, very violent. But being punched in the face, in my opinion, is less painful than doing like bear crawls around the gym, right? I would rather be punched in the face 10 times than do 5 minutes of bear crawls any day of the week. That's a shitty fucking exercise that really hurts.
It sucks.
So once you disconnect from the fact that we associate kicking and punching with some guy trying to kick your ass to really hurt you or put you in the hospital, and you sort of look at it as a sport, I mean, it really is just one guy trying to physically overcome this other guy. And there's no ball. You're just trying to punch each other in the face instead of, you know, having a ball there or whatever other rules for the other sports. So I look at it like that. That's why I don't really have the fear of being punched in the face so much. And I think once you're not afraid of being punched in the face, you overcome that. I mean, I think you have to be punched in the face 100 times to overcome that. If you don't go and spar and train and get punched in the face a bunch and realize that it's not that bad, it's not the end of the world to be punched in the face, it doesn't even really hurt because adrenaline kicks in at the time, then it becomes a completely different thing. So the challenge isn't overcoming the fear of being punched by Jason Ellis. The challenge is overcoming the fear of getting taken down by Jason Ellis, not being able to get back to my feet, feeling like I'm suffocating, having like, you know, my cardio not being there, feeling like my legs can't put, that is way scarier than being punched in the face. If you've ever been taken down and have a guy that's better at jiu-jitsu than you, and you're three rounds in and you're just tired, you can't breathe, and you tap because you can't breathe. I've tapped because I can't breathe so many times. That fucking sucks. That drowning feeling sucks way worse than being punched in the face.
You know, it's funny. It's not even the physical punch in the face that scares me. It's the embarrassment. Because I realize that it's not the physical pain. It's the embarrassment of not being good at something, or the embarrassment of losing in front of people. Not that I would, you know, want to fight in a hallway with no one there. But I realize that, like, when I think of physical confrontation, a lot of times it's the embarrassment of people seeing it that bothers me, as opposed to the actual physical aspect of it that scares me. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe my training hasn't gotten me that far yet. I took a few classes with Jimmy Rivera, and then the fucking pandemic hit. God damn it.
No, it's the fear of the unknown. That's what you're both kind of describing. Like what Lewis, like, listen, the reason why I had to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is everybody has a talent toughie. Like if you went back to my high school, I was the toughest kid in the high school, but it really means jack shit in the grand scheme of things. Like when I was 17 years old, I saw a tape of the Gracies. And I remember, it's similar to what Lewis is saying now. I remember saying, like, shit, man, like I could take a punch in the face. I could fight with a bloody nose, but these little Brazilian, and this was back when I saw these Gracie in action tapes. I'm like, these guys are getting on top of each other. They're getting on top of people, and the guys can't get out. They're beating the shit out of them, and they're breaking arms. And I remember thinking, like, I didn't like feeling that there's somebody else on the planet that could do that to me. And I'd be almost helpless. So I had to learn it. But so it's like Lewis being a tough guy, you know, could take a punch. He'd be like, I got hit. I could roll and come back. But being held down and not knowing the way out is a horrible feeling.
It's
just a drowning feeling.
Matt, we have, sorry, Lewis. We have Jim Miller. Jim Miller is in the waiting room.
Okay.
So we have to get to Jim.
Well, all right. Listen, Lewis, man, we'll let you do your plugs. But guys, before we let him go, also, Lewis, both of you two, could you please just go on YouTube and watch the beginning of Troy? It's like five. Say opening scene. Listen, opening scene of Troy. And I'm not going to owe me an apology, but you're going to go, oh, wow, that was awesome.
That's powerful. Okay.
But what I tried to mimic, and it didn't come through great. But please just watch that. Lewis, if you're serious about coming out to Long Island, if you can come out here twice a week or something,
Matt, I will.
I would have such faith in my own teachings that you'd be a fucking. I'd get you ready.
I'm 100% going to take you up on that offer. Let me know. You guys
get my number when we hang up. You have my number. Text me when we hang up.
I do. And guys, check out all my pods. I got three podcasts. I run a network called GasDigitalNetwork.com, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, Real Ass Podcast. Me and Bisping do Believe You Me. A lot of fans of this show probably have either heard of it or should be listening to it. And if you guys want to watch my new web series, which follows me through the entire fight journey, getting back in shape and preparing for Jason Ellis, Luis J. Gomez Fight Journal, available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/LuisJGomezComedy. Shout out to Yo Kratom for putting that together. And shout out to my other sponsor, Sheath Underwear, who I have to weigh in Sheath Underwear. So I'm going to be in shape.
Good.
And I got to take a dick pill or something before I weigh in, because that's the deal.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
Take a Blue Chew. They're one of our favorite sponsors.
Louis, thank you, man. And, you know, I love you and I have great respect for you. You're a doer. Louis is a guy who does a lot of shit. So we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Louis.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, pal. Be good. Hey, Jim.
UFC freaking legend. Jim, you're still Jim. I want to know the motivation. First of all, I'm jealous of your beard. As you see, I'm starting to get facial hair. I'm nowhere near you. I'm like a blue belt with a couple of stripes. You're a fucking red belt with that beard. But, man, you still got that dog in you. You're still a fucking gritty Jersey blue collar machine in there. How is the fire not going out by now? Like, how do you still get motivated for these cage fights?
It's, you know, the motivation for me has always been, it's always been a test, right? It's never been about my opponent. They're just kind of an opportunity to show off a skill set that I've developed. And that's the way it continues today. It's not about them. It's about me testing myself against them. And, you know, I don't know. I love it. Still love it.
When you're walking out, what do you feel like? You know, guys process this differently. Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Or like, what happens when you step in? Do things calm down for you? Or what's that process like from when you're walking out to when you actually start the fight?
Once the music starts playing, it's everything. All the nerves go away. You know, there are definitely nerves and butterflies leading up to that point. But once my entrance starts, then it's the time to have some fun and just go, you know, go out and do what I like to do.
You don't got any clock on you, do you? You're not like, all right, another fight, maybe another two. You're just saying, as long as I'm feeling good and still taking limbs and knocking people out and strangling people. I mean, are you still, obviously you're still doing, feeling great in the workout room though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't have a set time. I told myself when I started that I was like, 34. And that came in. So, you know, at this point, it's like I had that period in, you know, 2015, early 2016, where I was feeling like garbage. And, you know, where I was ready back then. And then I kind of got, you know, I figured it out with the Lyme disease and stuff like that. And, I got it like a breath of fresh air, it felt like, in my career. And it took me a while to overcome it. Yeah, now it's just kind of playing it by ear, you know, like, I was actually just talking to, you know, one of my buddies the other day about it. He was asking me like, when are you going to retire and stuff like that? And man, the idea of knowing that I'm walking out to my last fight is fucking exciting. like I'm pumped for it. It's not going to be this time out. Like, but you know, just knowing that there's nothing left to hold back for, that there's no more opportunities inside the octagon. That the idea of that gets me fired up and excited, but I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to walk away yet.
That armbar was so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, when you're just seeing it, I'm like, oh, he's going to get it. Oh, he's got it. Did you feel it pop at all or no?
Yeah, it popped two or three times. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you know. That's because some guys, they might tap premature, but some guys are just trying to just gut out of it, just try to fight out of it. And it's just so tight, but what a beautiful, beautiful arm lock. You're so dangerous. I'm not saying getting older, but older, you know, you're not 26 anymore. You're 36. You know, how's the training getting ready for these things? Is it less sparring, more rolling, or is it the same as usual? I mean, how has it changed over the years?
Preparation. You know, it's been really just listening to myself, listening to my body, right? Like when I was 26, it was a lot easier to just
all right, do what coach is telling me to do. And whether it was a good day or a bad day, I could get through it. And now it's like, you know, if it's a spar day and I only feel like I have four rounds in me, I only get four rounds in, you know? And if it's a day where I feel like I can get, you know, six, I'll get six in. So it's really just been about playing that by ear and, you know, kind of listening to my body more and, you know, using my head, right. Being a little more intelligent about it and not just, you know, biting down on my mouthpiece and getting through it and going hard. But you know, I'm doing more, like technical work, hitting more pads, drilling a bit more jiu-jitsu, which is, you know, I feel like it's a benefit and it's something that for a time there, kind of got away from, you know, a few years back where it was just like, it was just live. And, that beat the hell out of me. You know, and even in the room, it was guys would, you know, drop like flies. So, yeah, just getting away from that, the, you know, the trying to be a hard, you know, hard headed about it and being a numbskull and just going, you know, balls out every session. It doesn't help, you know, with the longevity of your career.
Yeah, I found that out, man. I was getting ready for, I used to always just train so athletic. And I remember I was getting ready for Matt Hughes' fight. And I was around 34, 35, whatever it is. And I'd have everybody start me in my big buddy, Craig, start me in a crucifix. And every round would start with that. So I'd have to get out and then keep going for 5 minutes. And then after that, I would do like 30 duck under the two suplexes. And dude, I blew my fucking back out for that fight. I just wasn't able to push myself. I mean, I'm like, what the fuck? I thought just the harder, the better, the worse positions. And my back just got blown out. And it made me just, you know, approach it differently. You know? Yeah, that's why I asked. How short a notice is this fight?
I took Sean Shelby hit me up about a week and a half ago, something like that.
Oh,
yeah. So wow. I had it'll be about 2.5 weeks.
It's not much of a camp.
Not much of a camp at all. You know, he offered up a different opponent initially, but that fell through. And then, Pichel, he accepted, you know, last week or whatever it was.
Did he have anything that he was getting ready for, or was he just kind of sitting, just waiting and hoping?
I think he was the only guy that bit, you know. I guess Shelby threw it out there to a couple different guys, and, you know, he wanted to fight, so, you know.
Yeah, but I don't see you in the off season like being like a guy like me in the off season when I was fighting like a fat boy. I see you either hunting or hiking or doing something. You look like a very outdoorsy type dude, just because of the beard. I'm saying in general.
I try to stay in it. You know, I got four kids, you know, we just, I don't have an office right now in the house. We moved into this house, right at the beginning of the lockdowns and stuff like that. So, you know, there's always something to do and something to pull me away from the gym at this point. So I like to have that fight coming up. It's easier for me to stay in it than to try to, you know, get back into shape. But yeah, there's always plenty of things now that pull me out of it. So, it's not easy to keep it going and to, you know, stay in the gym as often as I should, but, I try, I really do.
It's strange, Jim, when you finally do retire, like I remember after I got done fighting and like you wait, like there's a certain, like after a few months, you get that itch again. You're like, I should be training for something now. Like I should be talking to Joe Silva. Back then it was me talking to Joe Silva. Like I'd only, after a few months, after every fight, like I'd be like, all right. Or a couple months, I'd be like, all right, man, what do we got? Who do we got? Like I would just call the guy up. There was no agents back then. You probably remember that shit, Jimmy. So, I mean, and then like, it's almost like a weird, like, cause you do it for so long and it's going to be even weirder for you because you've been doing it so much longer than me now. So it's like when it finally stops, like you're going to be either hiking mountains or getting into VR like I did. I don't know, but you're going to have to challenge yourself or do something. Cause it's just it becomes like a cycle. Yeah. So once that cycle's broken, it's just like, I usually have something big coming up. Like what the fuck? Very weird. You know?
Yeah. You know, I'm excited for that too though. Right. Like,
yeah,
I know that fighters don't like to talk about retirement because they feel like it's, you know, a chink in the armor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it because I fight to provide for my family. So I need that next thing, you know, like it needs to be ready, because who the hell knows how long it's going to take to get up to the point where it can, you know, sustain our lifestyle. So, but I'm excited for, to find that next thing that I can put the amount of energy that I put into MMA, you know, into that. So
have you thought about what it's going to be?
I have, you know, and it's been trying different things out and seeing, you know, seeing what sticks and this and that. I haven't found it yet. I don't know yet, but you know, there's one side that's like, hey, you know, once you, you know, your back's against the wall and you need to find it, it's going to be easier to find it. But like I said, I want to be prepared for it, 'cause I think it's just irresponsible to be like, hey, I'm not fighting anymore. What are we going to do for our mortgage payment in 3 months? You know, like,
are you worried that if you don't know, it'll keep you fighting longer than it should? Not at this point, but I mean, say 3, 4 years or 5 years from now. Or are you worried that not knowing will keep you making decisions that you shouldn't make?
Potentially, yeah. You know, I mean, you do get to a point where it's like, okay, you know, you can't keep the speed and the quickness. And it's like, okay, I can get better technically. I can become a better athlete at 40 than I was at 30. Like, it's totally capable of happening. But there are things that you can't keep. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and you don't want it to add up, and you don't want it to affect your life, you know, down the road. So that is a thought in the back of my mind. Like, hey, you know, like, let's be smart about it. You know, and like I said, I'm feeling really good physically right now. So, you know, I can go in the gym and I can push myself, and it feels like it used to, right? Like there was that time where like I couldn't push myself. I can do it now, and I'm feeling good with it. So we'll see, you know, how much longer I got. I'd like to get to 40 fights in the UFC. And it's like, you know, UFC 300 is 4 years away, and it's like, fought at 1, fought at 200. Like, let's see if we, maybe we can get to 300, but who knows? I don't know. That might be a pipe dream, so.
Let me tell you, when you do finally walk away, and I love to see you fight, so when it's, you know, as long as you want to do it, we love watching you. But do you ever think, because your jiu-jitsu, especially in MMA, which is what I really love to see jiu-jitsu used in. Like, I don't watch a lot of the grappling events as I do watch. I love seeing jiu-jitsu used in combat, you know, and fighting. But, you know, you have such high-level jiu-jitsu. Do you ever think about doing, like, when you're done fighting, like, doing some grappling matches and stuff, or no?
I have, yeah. It's something that I've thought about. You know, the tough part is, it's like, I beat up my body doing this.
Yeah.
So then it's like, all right, well, I'm going to continue to beat the crap out of myself for, you know, jiu-jitsu, and it's like, I'm not going to get paid the same amount of money.
100%. That would be more just to quench a thirst if you still wanted to do something.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But you do have that skill set where, you know, your jiu-jitsu is – I don't think – did you ever do any grappling matches?
I've done a few.
But back in the day, probably, no?
Yeah. Like, early in my career, I did a couple tournaments. I did some you know, I don't like calling them super fights, but like super fight, you know.
No,
I
hear you.
Yeah. I don't think it's a fight unless you're punching each other.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking you'd still want to, you know, quench that thirst. But, hey, man, you might be just like, I'm good, because you're fighting such a long time. But, hey, man, and how's your brother doing? Is your brother doing well?
He's doing well. Yeah, you know, Dan was always a bit of an introvert, you know.
Yeah.
The whole, like, coming out and being in the limelight that he was in, you know, he did it because he loved the competition. And you know,
great fighter, your brother.
Yeah, he fought a lot of the best 85 pounders. He had a run there where it was like Sonnen and Bisping and Maya and Marquardt. I mean, it was just insane.
And you guys don't have a school, or no? Yeah. Did you? You do have a school.
Yeah, we got a school.
What's going on?
He doesn't care about that much with it, but
are you guys okay with all what's going on? Are you kind of in the same boat as me right now?
I think we're all kind of in the same boat, right? Like, it's something's got to give, you know. Down, and you know, it sucks right now.
Have they moved forward to opening more in Jersey? Sorry, Matt, are you still in Jersey?
Yes.
So have they moved any closer, or is it exactly the same situation as New York?
It's probably exactly the same situation as New York. Our governor's a complete idiot, so hey, he doesn't have a club, man. Anything. It's just like, you know, yeah. It's I don't want to get into it because it pisses me off.
But. Hey, listen, hey, bro, I am so with you. I'm so sick of this shit. I really am. We get into that, but I am with you. I think I don't know what to believe. I think a lot of it's political, but whatever, man. Well, fucking, let's keep it positive and talk about fighting. So I'm excited for your fight, dude.
Thank you.
What else we got going on? Podcast?
I during the lead up to the move and stuff like that, I kind of put it on pause, but I'm trying to get something back, you know.
Okay.
When you moved, did you want to move or was it out of necessity or what, just to find a bigger place?
It was to find a bigger place and to have a little more space for my kids. You know, we had we bought a house in 2009 before my oldest was born, and with one, it was okay. With two, it was okay. And then you had three and four and things got pretty tight. And, yeah, we just we found the opportunity to get out and found a spot that we wanted. And, you know, like my plan is to eventually move out of New Jersey because of political climates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I told my wife, I was like, listen, I've got the gym. Like we need to stick around because now I've got something that's like, it's good for me for my fighting career. So,
yeah.
You know, having the control and all that stuff. So, So as long as I'm fighting, we're going to be here. So we found a spot that we could be comfortable in. And
I can see you moving to the mountains somewhere, like a cabin. Is that you?
That's me.
Chopping your wood every, it is. I know. Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Is that where do you, do you have any, locations or destinations?
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I like the West a lot. Colorado, Utah, Idaho, those states. If I could get my wife to Montana, I'd love to go to Montana.
Oh.
But she probably wouldn't be on board with that.
No. Why Montana? Jersey to Montana is a big switch. That, you know, Iowa maybe. Montana's a big switch.
She grew up in Minnesota. She should be okay with the weather and stuff like that, you know, but she's like, I grew up with it, so I don't want to deal with it anymore. And you grew up in a, you know, with single mom and stuff like that. Like things are a little bit different here. Like we'll take care of you. We'll get a snow machine.
Yeah.
I'll get you the warmest snow suit they make and you know, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been to I've done gigs in most cities or most states, I should say, but you don't hear about Montana that much. It's really, Montana's off the grid considering it's one of the 48 continental United States. You don't hear about Montana very often.
Well, it's kind of a good thing. Keep it as much of a secret as possible.
Yeah. I think Butte is a city in Montana, correct?
Yep.
That's the only city I think that I can name in Montana, unless there's one that I'm forgetting that's major. I know nothing about it. So yeah, if you want to just kind of have a quiet life, Montana seems like a great place to go.
You know, I'll tell you, Jimmy Miller, I'm reading the stuff he's into, like knife collecting, archery, cooking, fishing, you know, and I don't have a lot of skills, Jimmy. I'm talking to Jimmy Norton, but you too, Jimmy. I look at you. I mean, all these, it's very manly. Like he's doing that archery.
Yeah.
How hard is that to get good at?
You know, it's been like getting to that really good aspect of it. You know, it's been difficult because with archery, it's really about remaining calm. And like, I feel like I should be able to use the mindset that I use in fights where it's like, okay, you get into that kind of like, you're calm, but there's some, you know, there's the risk of danger and shit like that. Right. You know, like you're loose, but you're ready to go. Like
everything's awake.
Yeah. Everything's awake. Like with archery, it has to be like, it's Zen. It's like, it's more like yoga, right? Just relax and calm and, so I fuck up occasionally because I get a little too amped up with it and then that gets me. But it's one of those things. It's repeating the same thing over and over again, just like drill and jiu-jitsu, right? Like, I mean, you be conscious while you're while you're getting your reps in and, you know, and present. And like, that's my plan, right? Is to be able to do it in my sleep. Like, I could do an arm bar in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know, somebody hops through the door and it's like, you know, middle of the night, I'm going to arm bar him before I even think about it.
Fuck yeah.
I want to be able to shoot my bow like that. And it hasn't quite gotten there yet. But, you know, it's, I like to learn things. I like to develop skills. So that's why I do a lot of the stuff that I do. It's because I suck at them. And I like to see the progression of slowly getting better and better, you know, as the days go by.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, look, man, we love watching you, and good luck. It's this Saturday against Vince Pichel. And I'm happy you guys both decided and took this fight. It's a great fight.
Yeah,
man. I'll be out there with Marab, so I'll see you over there, Jim.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, bro. Tell your brother I said hello also.
Will do.
All right.
Take care, Jim.
Have a good one, guys.
Miller.
All right,
be good. Yeah, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now let's talk about Derek Lewis against Oleinik. We both had a pretty good week of fight picking, Matt.
Yes.
You were a little more accurate in this one.
Yeah, I was on point. I was on point.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be so like a
no,
big,
no, you're right.
Big winner with that.
I had Lewis in a third round finish. You had him in a second round finish, and he did indeed.
Let me tell
knock
you.
Him out in the second round.
Listen, I was impressed with Derek Lewis's he was resilient. Like, he didn't want he was caught in that scarf hold, like neck crank. I hate that thing. You remember I got mad because I didn't like when Marab was doing it. It's a great picture. It looks awesome. Remember Marab did it in his fight, and then I don't know if you remember. I remember. But the guy, it did when it does, when it works great, you get the guy, you get a submission. But if it doesn't work, you're almost guaranteed to lose position.
Right.
You know, the guy's either getting up or even worse, he's on your back. And, you know, so even Oleinik lost position with that. And even though, he's probably very powerful with that because Derek Lewis doesn't have much of a neck. And he said he was feeling it and had a hard time breathing. But he's a tough, tough dude. And he wasn't saying uncle to that. I was also very impressed with Oleinik's escape from bottom using his underhook in half guard. It was so awesome. I do something very similar, and I really was impressed with that. I loved his jiu-jitsu. That was a fun first round, man. So fun.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
I never felt like Lewis was going to go out, too. There was a couple moments where I'm like, I was like, why is he staying on the floor? Like, he went down with him and stayed on the floor. And I'm like, why isn't he trying to get out of there? He seemed like he was committing to stay on the floor with Oleinik in the first round. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, and he survived it, but I just thought that was a crazy move.
I didn't look at it like that. Did I text you that, Mac?
I think I did text you that at one point.
Yeah, I think you did. I'm going to look. But I think what I think it was, Jimmy, is that it was a five-round fight. And I think he knew that he had to play it relaxed. Because if he tried to explode out of some things, he's going to get exhausted. So I think it was more of him just trying to be calm on the fire. And then when he got out and got up, you saw what he did. So the way he started that second round.
Right. No, I think there was a moment where he actually, not that he didn't try hard enough to get up. What I'm saying is it seemed like he was going to the floor voluntarily when he didn't have to. And I don't remember why I'm saying that. There was something, I think I texted you, like, what is he doing? Like, there was a moment where I thought he could have avoided the floor if he wanted to, but he chose to go down. And I'm like, it was just a decision. I wasn't sure of why he was doing it. And I have to rewatch the fight to remember the moment.
Lewis is so strong, but I think he's making a mistake being on the ground this long.
Oh, maybe. Okay. You know what? Yeah. Maybe there was a moment where I thought he could have gotten up and didn't. Not that he wasn't shaking him off. Like, why isn't he getting up? Because he had a chance to, and then he just stayed there and chose to keep raining down punches.
I don't know what the fuck Derek is thinking.
Did I write that? Yeah.
You didn't write that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get you in trouble with Derek Lewis.
Oh, no, I would say that to Derek.
Holy shit.
Because there was a moment. If we interview Derek, I'll rewatch the fight. Pick the moment that I'm telling you, that I'm thinking of. There was a reason I said that. It wasn't that, hey, how come he's on his back and he's not getting out of that neck crack? There was a decision he made, and I'm like, it seemed like he's comfortable staying down there, and he could have stood up and didn't. I'm like, why isn't he standing up? I didn't understand that. Like, why do you want to be on the ground with, even though you outweigh him by 40 pounds?
Yeah, listen, I was impressed with his calm under the, the grappling of Olenek is, you know, and you know, he's got very good time. He's another guy that stays calm under fire. Sure. You know, I mean, you got, you know, Derek Lewis looking to beat the crap, like just punch him and elbow him, even when he's in close on those, even in a short distance, he's got such power. You know, when he was up on that leg and up against the cage and whatever it was. So, you know, I enjoyed that fight, even though it wasn't a long one. I enjoyed the clash of styles.
Yeah.
And I still like Olenek, though. I think he's a crafty guy, you know?
Right.
But Derek, I like that he's really taking it seriously now, the training. It shows.
Yeah. And I don't believe he had to cut to get down to 265, even when he's in shape. But you could see he seemed like he was in better shape than he had been. He was toner than he had been in the past. And, you know, Olenek will fight again, obviously. I mean, but you could see how strong he is, too. I mean, he had Lewis in definite trouble at one point. You know, Derek is just, it just seemed like too strong to keep there.
Man, listen, I'm watching when the Black Beast is fighting. You know that.
I know.
So let's talk about the other fights. Because, you know, what a fun car, Jimmy. Even the
Talk about the one I got correct completely. Now we both of course, Weidman against Omari Akhmedov. You had Weidman by in second round to submission, and I said no, this one will go the distance. I just felt like, I know Akhmedov is tough, and I was correct. It went the distance.
I can't say enough about, yes, you're so great, first of all. I'll say that. Because the way you said that was very, you know.
Well, you know, you got JDS on. You got Derek Lewis's fight on the nose, and I got this one on the nose.
I did, right on the nose. And listen, I'm happy for Chris to get it. And listen, yeah. You know, Omari, Akhmedov.
Akhmedov, yeah.
Akhmedov, I said. I said it right.
Okay.
If the third time. But I got it finally right. But Omari, dude, I mean, that guy was, you know, I want to see what's next with him, man. It came down to the third round, you know, and I'm so happy that Chris gutted that out. His jiu-jitsu looked great. Very, you know, positionally strong, low passing into mount, you know, and hey, man, I couldn't be happier for my buddy. Darren Stewart.
Yeah. Against right. Maki Pitolo. We both got Darren correctly. You were close. Neither one of us got it on the money, but you were closer.
Yeah. Well, one of us just kind of had the feeling that it wouldn't go the distance.
You're right.
Just say that.
And let's be honest.
Yes.
You know, but you some of us knew that it would be a decision, but even the ones that did pick it to be an earlier stoppage thought that it would be a TKO, when of course it was a submission, but that's not important. Let's just be honest. We both got it right and wrong.
Darren Stewart, first round guillotine. And I love a nice guillotine.
Yeah.
I love an elbow up guillotine. I do. It's a problem, Jimmy.
Yes.
All right.
Yep. Now, Yana Kudetskaya against Yulia Stolyarenko. You did pick that one correctly, and I did not.
I got that one right, Jimmy.
Yes, you
I
did.
I got that on the nose. And before we get JDS on, he's in the waiting room. Let's talk.
Yes.
Benil Dariush, congratulations.
Dariush was great. Yeah.
You know, you picked the second round submission. All right. Even though it was a first round knockout.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, you didn't know it wasn't going to the decision. I thought it was going to be a decision.
Yeah.
You know, because Holtzman's such a tough dude. But I'm telling you, can't say enough about Benil Dariush, who was really, in the beginning, kind of just known for his grappling, and now he's his striking really.
His striking was on point. He looked incredible.
Man. And oh, also, shout out for Tim Means making a comeback there. I like, you know, classy veteran like Tim Means.
And Gavin Tucker, by the way, before we get JDS on, incredible third round submission over Justin James. James, very, very tough and very difficult to put away. But man, did Gavin Tucker's striking look incredible. That body kick, his body kick up the middle, he was throwing head kicks.
Yes.
He was incredibly, incredibly versatile striker. Let's get JDS in here. We don't have to make Junior wait.
Hey, it's Chad. What's up, Junior?
How are you guys?
Hey, buddy, how are you, buddy? It looks like you're getting done with a training session.
Yeah, I just finished one more. The last one, actually, here in American Top Team. So tomorrow I'm going to Vegas.
You look good. You look, again, your face looks thinner now. There have been rumors of you going down to light heavyweight, which, of course, has nothing to do with what you're doing this weekend. But is that something that's still in a possible future for you, or is that totally out of the picture?
To fight John Jones, I would do that.
For Jones, you would do that? Okay.
Yeah, nice but payday. I'm linear, but I'm still far from 205.
But you know what? He actually may want to come up for that fight. You know, he's talked a lot about going to heavyweight. I think he doesn't feel like there's enough exciting matchups at light heavyweight, and he may, instead of you coming down, he would actually probably want to come up to fight.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Actually, John Jones is the guy, man. He's the guy of the moment, you know, the best one of all divisions right now I think everybody wants to fight him, you know, and I'm not different. It would be great to be, you know, fighting against him. So maybe if it's possible, let's make it happen.
And how are you feeling now going into this fight? You've had a couple fights not go your way, but again, you've been there before. You know what that is, and you just turn it around with a win now over Rozenstruik, who's coming off a very tough loss as well. What do you expect when you're fighting a guy who's coming off the type of loss he's come off of? Are you expecting him to come out very aggressive early, or how do you look at that?
Yeah, I'm expecting like a very tough fight against him, you know. For no doubt, he's hungry for a victory. I'm hungry for a victory as well, you know. So this fight will be very interesting for the fans, no doubt, you know, because both of us will be ready to give all of us, you know, to win this fight. So it's going to be very interesting, and I'm expecting a very tough fight because this guy, man, he has very heavy hands. And, you know, he's that type of counter fighter. Everything you throw against him is going to have an answer right away. So I'm expecting for that.
And you haven't fought since January. So how has this whole thing been for you, this whole training during the pandemic and the lead up and everything kind of getting turned upside down? How has that affected your training?
It's hard, you know, for everybody else. I'm not different, you know. We are living a very strange moment in the whole world. But thank God we were able to do a good training camp here, American Top Team. You know, I'm having my own training partners, you know. They are just training with me and with some other guys that we know it's all good. But yeah, it's no doubt. You always have that thing in mind, you know, because now I have to do the COVID test before going to Vegas. I have to do the test here. So to do it, you know, you keep in mind, maybe I don't have the symptoms, but I have it or not. Let's see. But when the results came, negative, then I was fine. You know, relieved about it.
Yeah, Jimmy's like that with every STD test.
Yep. I just assume it's going to be bad news. And
Hey, Junior, you're walking around in such great shape. What was it? Is it just a total change in your diet? What made you want to change your diet?
Because actually, I was going up on weight. I was 254, and I was feeling heavy and lazy. And I told my doctor, you know, Dr. Maria Bogeia in Brazil, and my nutritionist, Marcelo Guedes, in Brazil as well. And they offered me, they proposed me this challenge, you know, to do a keto diet. Oh. And I accepted that, you know, and that was great, man. I felt amazing, you know. I was feeling great to waking up early in the morning and with more, much more will to do the things, you know. So I was feeling great. Of course, during the training camp, I couldn't stay on the diet because keto diet, you take away the whole carbohydrates. Yeah. And I cannot stay without carbohydrates during training. But I was able to keep my weight on the same place, you know, during the training because I was eating carbohydrates, but I was training a lot as well.
Yeah.
So, that's why they say, man, you are what you eat. Because, man, that's a very true thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling great and I'm still feeling great.
So it's true. I wanted to ask you about the keto diet before I forget, because I had tried it and I kind of gave up on it. Not that you and I live the same lifestyle. You know, you're a heavyweight fighter and I just kind of do the elliptical machine. But did it actually take a couple of weeks before you started to see weight coming off?
Not really. Actually, it was very fast. Very fast. As soon as my nutritionist told me, Marcelo Guedes, he told me that I would feel very bad at the beginning. Like the four first days would be very hard for me, you know. But it wasn't that hard, you know. It was kind of hard, but not that hard, you know. I'm used to challenges, so I was feeling, you know, strange, but I was feeling good. And after a week, I did that for a month. But at the beginning, we should do that for 15 days, and I, you know, the weight was start to go down. Like on the third day already.
It was really?
Very fast.
You are what you eat. You're right. You are what you eat. That's very good.
Yeah. That's why I'm a meatball, Jimmy, because I eat a lot of meatballs. Oh,
I thought you were going to call me a dick.
Oh, shit.
I'm happy about this fight. Now, how is this a short notice fight, or did I just not hear about it?
No. I did the whole training camp two months, you know, of training camp for this fight. So, I think it's a great fight. You know, we are training here. Jairzinho Rosenthal is training here too, and American Top Team. We never trained together, but we are doing the training camp, like in the same gym. You know, sometimes we see each other. We say hi.
Yeah, you're friendly guys.
Yeah. But that's, you know, so... That's a strange thing. I never lived something like that before, but it's been a good experience, you know, because we can, you know, we hardly ever see each other here because we have different timing of training and everything, different partners. This is a American Top Team is a big gym, you know, with a lot of people, so it's possible to make it happen very easy.
Hey, Junior, what do you think of the of not having a crowd? What do you think of how you think that's going to affect you at all? Some fighters are a little weirded out by it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't really know how it's going to be, but I think it's going to be more similar as it is on the gym. You know, just your team over there screaming at you, you know. I think it's going to be not a big difference. You know, of course, it's nice to have people over there, you know, rooting for you and screaming your name and pushing you forward. But this time, I think we'll be able to listen to our coaches.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, is it weird training in the same place as him? Because are the coaches kind of split? Like, are there guys that you would normally see that would be normally with you that are going to be on his coaching him kind of? Is there a strange thing there with guys you know who are coaching him kind of against you?
Yeah, it's not normal, you know. It's like I said, you know, he has his guys helping him. You know, I have my guys helping him. Some of my guys already trained with him before, you know, so they know a little bit of him, you know, but all of the guys that are helping him training with me before. So I have no problem with that, to tell you the truth. I could train with the guy I'm going to be fighting with, you know, a day before, and I'll keep doing the same thing as I do all the time, and it's going to work because it's about timing. It's about, you know, how smart you are to to make it happen. So that's what I say. My training partners here in the gym, they know my style. They know what I'm going to do, what I do best, and it still works. So I don't have problems with that, you know?
Hey, listen, your last win was versus Derek Lewis. So you have to feel good. You watched the fight over the weekend?
I did, yeah.
Does it make you kind of feel good? Because you're like, hey, listen, Derek's doing so well, and I got that W over him. I got that win over him. It kind of makes you feel good, no?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm a proud guy. You know, I have a beautiful career. I'm happy with everything what happens in my life. Even the last two fights, you know, was hard for me. But, man, everything has, a reason to happen, you know. So let's move forward. That's the only thing we can do. And I'm happy to be who I am. I love what I do. So I'll keep doing the best I can, you know. And This Saturday, I think you all will see a great show, you know, because I'm ready. I'm sure that my opponent is ready. And, you know, he's a striker. I'm a striker. Yeah. And someone's going to go down.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. Good luck, Junior. That's a great card. You guys, of course, are on the main card right before Vera O'Malley. And it's the Stipe Cormier 252, and Stipe Cormier is the main event. And we'll talk to you again, man. You look great, and I'm really happy and looking forward to this fight.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Junior.
Take care, Junior. Before we get out of here, yes. I wanted to ask you, too. Obviously, we have Habib fighting Justin Gaethje in October. Yes. And that kind of, you know, people were wondering if Conor was going to get that fight. And we kind of knew he wouldn't. And I think Justin deserves it. And now they're saying McGregor is not going to fight in 2020.
Okay.
Which makes sense to me. I think they also, Conor probably wants to fight in front of a crowd. But, you know, everyone does. But I think but he's such a draw that I think they would love to do it in front of a crowd.
Yeah, but think about the pay-per-view with that, though.
I mean, the pay-per-view would be huge, even without a crowd.
So who do you think he will fight? Is that what you're getting at?
No.
Sorry.
I would love to see, just my own opinion.
Yes.
The fight I've been calling for, Matt, for a long time, as you know, is Gaethje-McGregor. That's the fight I want to see. Of course, you're going to see Gaethje-Habib. So I think McGregor fights Gaethje. If Gaethje wins, I think Conor is the next fight. That's my guess.
I would like... You're going to think I'm crazy, and you're not going to agree with this.
What?
I want to see a trilogy fight.
Conor and Ganu? Oh, sorry. Who are you saying?
I would like to see
Nate
Diaz and Conor McGregor. I want to see the trilogy. I thought the first fight was amazing, obviously. And the second fight, very close.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say it could have went to Nate.
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of biased.
I thought McGregor won that fight.
Yeah. Well, I got to see it again. I thought Nate won, but I'm a buddy of Nate. I like Nate.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would love to see that again. I would love to see that again. And then they could go do whatever they want to do.
I'm not saying it's a bad fight. There's other things I want to see a lot more. And Gaethje Conor, I think I want, you know, Conor Ferguson, I always wanted to see. Conor Habib, I saw, and I'm happy I saw it. But as far as he's concerned, I would say him and Justin Gaethje. Although against Habib, I don't know. Justin Gaethje, I may have to go with Habib in that fight because he's just too dangerous for anybody who isn't. I know Justin has a wrestling background, but I would still take Habib.
What about Conor versus Tony Ferguson?
To see who, but again, it depends on what happens with. Let's say it's Justin Habib. Let's say Habib wins. Then what do you say, Conor Ferguson, to see who fights Habib?
Yeah, I would like that.
If Conor's not fighting in 2020, well, then by the time the Habib-Justin fight happens, that's October. What are you going to do, wait 3 more months?
This is what you should do.
I'm babbling.
This is what the UFC should do.
What?
Have.
Give us raises.
Yes, 100%, dude. Fuck. have Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor have the trilogy fight. Have the third fight. They are 1-1. Let's settle it, and then let's see what else. Then do whatever else you want to do.
Okay. Let's see what weight he gets to, too. Does he want to fight at lightweight or welterweight? Because if he wants to fight at 170, I mean, it's not crazy to think Masvidal Might be in there too. I mean, Masvidal against Conor would also be a very interesting fight at 170.
Yes. Right. Listen, Jimmy, there's so much exciting things coming up in the fight game and in the UFC. And I'm happy to be here with you discussing it.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Thank you to Jim Miller. And of course, the great Luis J. Gomez, who we love. And of course, Junior Dos Santos. We will talk again before 252. We'll do our fight picks. We've both been on a pretty good roll.
Yeah.
Although you had a slightly better week this week than I did.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And I'll talk to you soon.
I will talk to you Wednesday, and then I'm out of here after that. And I'm going to be at Vegas.
Well, I'll be here. I'll hold the fort.
All right, everybody.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Later, Jimmy.
All right, pal.
Bye-bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.